Thank you for joining us today at the Thai Podcast. Welcome to the show. But each of these seventh holes are so good that I couldn't choose a winner. It's going to be another split here. So
12 Tree Farm wins. It'll bring the match back to all square. And we've got a ball game.
But at 13, I think every little piece of it has such a purpose to it. And I think it's the best hole out there. So I can't decide between these two. We might be working with the best hole on each course.
The reason that I think the hole is successful is because the left-hand side of the green and the right-hand side of the green make both the layup and going for it valid options. I think that's very important on a drivable hole.
One of my brothers asked me, like, oh, are you going to stay up and watch the ball drop? And I was like, it was full blown, like, Kawhi laugh moment. Just a full, not even a thought that I was staying up for that ball.
I love his laugh.
I don't even consider that to be a thing. The fact that there is like this ball drop sort of situation.
I got back yesterday and I was talking to the Uber driver and I said, I can't imagine a bunch of you guys are hanging out at the airport, probably just because there's so much going on. Like, nobody's traveling on New Year's Eve. Like, everybody's out downtown. If I was an Uber driver, that's where I'd be hanging out. And he said, you know, I checked it out. Seems pretty dead. Like, nobody's doing anything. And I said, that's what I like to hear.
Because yeah, that's, I'm a big fan of that.
Everybody's on the train. New Year.
So anti. Okay, we are back. House Theory Thursday. I feel like we needed like a welcome to the jungle sort of intro music for this one. This is hot button stuff. I mean, the number of DMs we've gotten about Old Barnwell and Tree Farm just over the last, what, year, but particularly the last kind of 3-4 months as the two have both been open, comparing and contrasting. What do we think? How's this one? How's that one? What's the vibe? What's this? Just a lot of interest in these two projects, which is an awesome thing. And, you know, spoiler alert, they're both fantastic projects, but got to do it. Got to get a little match play going here. So we are back for House Theory Thursday. Hole one versus hole one, hole two versus hole two, until we determine a winner. I'll throw it to Mr. Dr. Professor Walker Simas here for a little bit of color on the two projects overall, kind of how they compare and contrast at a very high level before we get into the straight up hole by hole.
Yeah, I just got really two things to say. And firstly, I mean, you and I have been driving through this rural South Carolina land like our whole lives, and not necessarily Aiken, but South Carolina as a whole, just going back and forth between the beach and traveling with golf tournaments. And I think we've always kind of known that South Carolina land had some special stuff in it. And I certainly have always visualized golf and really good golf in this area, and to see it come to light is really, really cool. And getting able to see these two projects, the cadence of them both, to see them at least somewhat finished up. I mean, today we're going to be talking about the golf courses and not sort of the surrounding landscape of what these two clubs will be offering, but it's about the golf, and that's what I love so much. Secondly, I think it's important to note that both of these clubs are co-designs. At least to a certain degree, which is important. And it's been kind of a fun concept. I like the idea of the riff between two or more people who really know what they're doing. It creates for some really cool ideas. I think both Tree Farm and Old Barnwell are very open and receptive to change and feedback over time. So as we sit here at the beginning of 24, you know, we're viewing these golf courses as they are. But between Brian Schneider and Blake Conant, you can go check out that podcast that we did earlier in 23 for more context on at least how they view this project specifically. If you want to look more into the work that they've done beforehand, the list is long and dense. as far as Kai Golby, who I really didn't know much about prior to the tree farm project. And obviously the routing was done by Tom Doak, and Zach Blair obviously was really, really involved in the design. It's just, it's been a lot of collaboration, a lot of iteration, and there is more to come. So, Henry, I really enjoyed your article. We talked about this at length on the car ride back, basically the entire way back from Old Barnwell. There was one point at the beginning of this that you made that I want to make sure that you rehash on before we get into this discussion, which is how different and how great these two golf courses can play in different seasons, and how important it is to judge them having seen them in multiple seasons and in close proximity together, and whatever else you want to hash on before we get going.
Yeah, that's a good call out. And I'm not going to make any further call outs here, but I have seen some people write and speak about these two golf courses, making comparison between the two, having seen them at very different times and being courses that are meant to be and are going to be, for the most part, very firm and fast. I think it's really important to see them essentially in the same month, let's say. It doesn't have to be back-to-back days or in the same week. But to draw a comparison between two golf courses that are supposed to play very similarly, if you've seen one, say, in June and the other in December, they're going to play really differently. And so I think the fact that we've each seen them at very similar times and gotten to see what the courses really play like when they're kind of close to striking on all cylinders is a pretty important thing. So fired up to get into it here.
I have one more thing to add, and that is that on prior House Theory Thursdays, the way that we typically do things is Henry will do his match play rankings 1 to 18 by himself. I will do mine 1 to 18 by myself. We will come to an agreement on this one. We did this one live in the car on the way back. We kind of thought through each holes, or all the holes rather, and there were some differences of opinion. We hashed this one out pretty good. So I am confident that where we stand today, what we're going to present today is a pretty truthful reflection of where we both stand. I know that there will be some disagreements here, and that is exactly why we are here today. So
I was actually surprised how similar we were, frankly. I kind of thought going in that there might be some that were just like way off the mark where you're like, hey, the sixth that Old Barnwell, for just random example, takes it by a mile. And I'm like, fuck no. It's like, we're going the other way. But by and large, we were pretty much in lockstep, actually. So, let's get right into it. Let's start with the first hole. I'll take the odds today. I'll give you the evens. Let's start with Tree Farm here on the first hole. So, I mean, immediately we're differentiating ourselves with a par three, right? Like, you don't see a lot of par three openers in America. It's a really good one, I think, as a par three opener goes. I love the context that it sits within, the fact that it's right below where the clubhouse will be. It's right up behind the 18th green. It's not an easy par three opener by any means. I think if this were the 13th hole on the golf course, you would look at it and say, like, this is just a very objective, straightforward par three. But being your first swing of the day, you have to make a pretty good one. Not a great one. It's a big enough green to where, with a left-hand pin, there's a bunker that's pretty deep and important that really comes into play. But with a right-hand pin, it's large enough that you're really not even looking at that bunker. So straightforward par three, nice opener, nice large area that the hole sits within. It's going up against a par five at Old Barnwell, which I think you're going to find to be a much more traditional opening hole. I wouldn't call it like a full-blown handshake. It's not that you can just wail on your driver and hit it anywhere, but it's also not a tight tee shot by any means. You can hit one that's a little bit squirrely and still find the short grass. The second shot, it keeps you honest. So one of the things that I wrote about in my article, and if anyone hasn't read that, you should go check it out. It released on December 26th, Boxing Day, Tree Farm, Old Barnwell comparison. But one of the things I don't love about the course overall is the fact that so many of the greens are raised up, which I think just makes it challenging for not as good players and maybe doesn't present that same challenge to a better player. But on this first hole, I love that because the right side, you have some longer grass if you miss the green. And then the left, there's a bunch of short grass. But if you leave yourself 50 yards short left of the green is going to raise up a little bit. It's not an easy pitch. You can't just run it in there necessarily. You do have to hit a nice shot. So it's kind of a 535 standard, hit the fairway. You're probably going to have a long iron in your hand, gives you a really good chance to make four sort of par five. I don't know if this is good or bad. It just, it kind of is what it is. I think I speak for most golfers here, certainly myself, when I say, I just like a par five opener that gives me a chance to make a birdie. I don't hate walking off the first green at one under. And it's not just purely that. It's a really nice hole. So I think that is what tips the scales to give old Barnwell the win here and go one up early. Again, I don't know that that's a good thing, but it's me just speaking straight off the chest. I like par five opener. I don't mind walking off the first hole one under.
Yeah. One thing that always interested me about the approach on the first old Barnwell is how you, there's almost no room off to the right when you're talking greenside, and the hole offers nothing but room. But really, the best place to play from if you're going to go for that green and two is just kind of short right, putt one up there and make your four and move on. That's always been fascinating because there's so much room left, but none of it's good.
It's not good.
Yeah. Anyway, I agree with you. Hole two presents, in my opinion, at Old Barnwell, the first real option, the first real decision that you have to make on the golf course. And I think that had this hole been placed anywhere on the golf course, it would be one of the better holes on the golf course. One of these things that I've talked about with you before is the idea of playing a golf hole from the wide end of a triangle towards its point. And the reason that that idea exists is really because I like the idea of width, but I also like the idea that regardless of what your playing style is, by the time you reach the green, you got to have your shit together. And quite literally, the second at Old Barnwell is playing from the fat side of a triangle to its point. I mean, the green, if you see it from above or just short of the green, basically resembles this funky ass triangle. And it's a drivable short four that does really offer the option, and that driver is not, or going for it is not always the best play. Laying up is a very real option, and you do have the choice to take a wedge to that pin for your second. Regardless, it is going to be very, very difficult whether you try to go for it in one or miss your second even slightly. But it's another opportunity to potentially make a birdie and step on the third tee two under. Tree Farm, in contrast, I think I speak for everybody here in that the second at Tree Farm is a transitional hole. I think it's ironic, actually, that both sit right next to the maintenance barn. It's pretty unique. And the tee shot on the second does offer some resemblance of a heroic play, the opportunity to carry a bunker and have what should be or maybe would be considered a better look into the green. In my opinion, I don't think taking on that quote unquote heroic carry gives you a much better look into the green. You're slightly lower, you can see slightly less. And if you have, say, 30 yards more from the left hand side of the fairway, I think that is equally as good of an approach, equally as good of a look. The green is fine. I think one of the things that I found interesting was at the very, very beginning, when this golf course was routed, when it was all trees, where the second green site sits originally was one of the green sites that I was most fired up about. I thought it was going to be one of the best on the course. And I think that does add some bias to my answer here, because I feel like this green might be a slight letdown from what it originally could have been, but that's routing dependent. So I don't want to factor that in too much. The second at Old Barnwell has a ton of thrill. The second at Tree Farm does not. And for that reason, Tree Farm is going to win the hole, and Old Barnwell will be two up heading into the third.
Correct you there, but Barnwell wins the hole to be two up, but same difference. You know, one of the things that I love about golf courses is that they're not oil paintings. You know, it's not just set in stone. So it wouldn't shock me if the Tree Farm, if the second hole, if that's one that changes over time a little bit. I think that there's plenty that you can work with there. It would shock me if anything changes on the second at Old Barnwell, because no golf hole is perfect, but it's just so good. We don't need to change anything about the second at Old Barnwell. I love your point on, you got to play to the triangle, and it's like playing to the tip of the triangle is another way of saying delaying the penalty. You try to take it on off the first shot. You try to take it on in the second shot, third shot. At some point, you do have to just say, shit, man, I got to send my ball down to that tip and not miss it. Because once you do, it gets really gnarly quickly. So yeah, that's a, to me, it's a pretty easy two up through two for Old Barnwell, to this point. So moving to the third, I'll start with Old Barnwell. You know, I always go back and forth here on when I don't feel as if I fully understand a hole is like, is that a me problem? Is it, should a hole be more easily understood? I don't know. What I'll say is I do think the green is super cool on the third at Old Barnwell. I love, we had a very front pin, which made the hole completely different than, you know, I was looking at the green, kind of the whole deal. And the back right has a super interesting little bowl that would be very fun to play to. The tee ball is, yeah, the tee ball is extremely wide. I mean, you can hit many different clubs. You can do many different things. But I think where I struggle with the hole a little bit is short of it being the summer and being able to fly, or just, you know, you being an absolute bomber and being able to fly the ball 320 and hit it up over the bunkers and you know, hit towards the green, I didn't see a clear advantage to one shot or another necessarily. There was too much just like, don't do that, but like anything out there is going to be completely fine. You know, like if you just didn't miss right and you kind of hit your ball anywhere between 250 and 285 or 300, you were working with like 75 yards. And at the end of the day, I just kind of left that one saying like, you know, if I hit it 250 out to the left, I've got 120 in. And if I hit it 290, I've got 80 yards in, you know, and just those are both short, not that difficult golf shots, right? So I didn't think the third, again, maybe I didn't get it. But if I didn't, it just felt a little complex, but the complexity didn't do that much for me. The third at Tree Farm is a very different hole. I think it's very easy to understand. It's wide, it's long. It's going to be the first shot of the day where it's like, all right, you're going to have a long iron in your hand and you just got to hit a good shot. Get up towards the green. There's not that much going on. You know, you're probably going to end up having to try to just make a nice two putt or have a fairly straightforward up and down coming off of a long iron, which like by the principles of house theory, that's probably what it should look like, right? Like long shot in, fairly wide, slightly more generous green. If you miss it, it's probably not going to be super penal like you would want to see on a shorter hole. But it's a contrast here between a hole that I don't fully understand and I think is complex, but maybe not for the right reasons. And then a hole at Tree Farm that is simple. But you know, it's not like some great sophistication and simplicity sort of situation. So, you know, a little bit of a pillow fight here, I think within the context of these two golf courses, within the context of the game of golf, these are by no means bad golf holes, but I think with what we have coming up, these are not, you know, the hardest punches that either of these golf courses are going to throw. So the third is going to be a little bit of a pillow fight draw here to leave Old Barnwell two up through three.
Yeah, and complete difference, change of pace in the fourth. And what a treat it is in house theory to get two holes that are very similar, both in par, in, well, length being slightly off here, but kind of what they mean within the context of the golf course.
Slightly to significantly, depending on which tee you play. That,
correct. Yeah. I
that tree monster tee at 275. God bless.
Yeah, it's nuts. So I'll start with Old Barnwell. The fourth at Old Barnwell is, I think, where we can start off is a bit of a driving range six iron type hole. It is a stock shot. However, the amount of texture on this golf hole, I think, is what makes it so worth playing and so repeatably good. Like the trend over time on hole four alone is amazing, given how stock shot in nature it is. And that's something I've had to think a little bit longer about than a lot of other golf holes on both of these courses, frankly. It's one thing if a hole looks good, but it's another if it plays way better than it should. And the fourth at Old Barnwell just offers this really picturesque setting where one of the other things that I've been looking at is, you know, it plays over this small valley, and there's flanks of sand, but also native that make the tee shot look good. But also the way that Old Barnwell, the way that water is moved out there is tremendous. And one of the things that I was noticing when walking it the first and second time and then playing it was how the mimic the little valley short of that green that can kick a ball onto that front edge really mimics the valley that you walk through to get to the green. And I just think that kind of stuff is so cool. I don't even know if that was purposeful, but it's something that I was picking up on. Lastly, for those of you who are listening who have played, you've probably experienced in one form or another the rear bunker. And I was just perplexed when I saw it the first time. I have to admit, I didn't exactly like it. I was like, how in the world is this going to work long term? And I think there are other arguments to be made at Old Barnwell that are like this. It's like, how are we going to mow a 10-foot tall, virtually straight up face into this deep ass long bunker where, you know, in firm conditions, you land that thing on the center or even front of the green, you roll over, and now you're faced with, do I even have the speed to get the ball out of this sort of cavern? And over time, I've come to appreciate it a little bit more. I do think the shot is possible. I think most people are able to keep it on the front of the green, even with a pretty average bunker game. But really just a better hole than I feel like it should be, and a hole that looks really good. The fourth at Tree Farm is just a beast, but it really presents the same type of vibe on a bigger scale. I feel like the penalties at the fourth at Old Barnwell are just, they hug the green very closely. And the penalties at Tree Farm are a bit more spread out from the green. Like, they're not right up next to the green. The green is also much, much larger in square footage. But you have a bigger club. I mean, 275 is, that's driver. And for some people, not even driver. That's a big hole. And even from some of the upper tees, you're looking at 240, 210, 215. And, you're really looking at a hole that resembles, what hole is it at PV? It's the fifth, I think. Just kind of plays over this cavern, and you have to carry the ball at least, you know, 190-ish. Let's
that's
just
a
call it
green,
from
but
a normal
that's
tee.
A pretty good comparison there, actually. Yeah.
Well, I think that's not my example. I think that was more of an interpretation when they were building it, but you have to carry the ball a long ways to even get to what is a landing area, which plays uphill up to the green. And to make two is ridiculous. Three on both of these holes is a very, very good score. Yet I don't feel passionately about one really beating the other. I see how the fourth at Tree Farm here gets the slight edge. I really do. I think it's a better hole pound for pound, but not by much. And for that reason, these two holes are going to tie. Old Barnwell, I'm correct this time in saying Old Barnwell, will remain two up, heading to.
Yeah, those are a couple just steady jabs, you know, like solid shots to the dome, but like not haymakers by any means. Can I pause real quick to make one just like stupid comparison that I was riffing on here as you went
Please.
Through that? And I'll preface by saying I love grocery store sushi. I think it's great. One of the great culinary pieces out there. The fourth at Old Barnwell is grocery store sushi. Okay, so here's what you're working with. Like, grocery store sushi, you get this little container and you're like, man, there's a lot going on here. Like, look at all this stuff. You got the fake grass, you got the ginger, you got these rolls, like a lot of color going on. Like, man, this is awesome. Got my chopsticks. But then you're like, well, I can't eat any of that. You know, it's like, I'm just eating the sushi. Like, at the end of the day, it's really simple. It's rice, it's fish. And, you know, hopefully you're not like a cream cheese sushi sort of person. Like, it's straightforward. Like you described, like it's a driving range 6-iron. It looks great, tastes great. It is great, but like, it's not as complex as meets the eye. But then what you also do have, you mentioned that back bunker, you got your dot of wasabi there, which is exactly what that back bunker is. You like, you touch it, you're like, oh, let me just see what that feels like, you know, just a little bit. And then it just, ooh, just punches you right in the face. It's grocery store sushi. And again, I love grocery store sushi.
Well, yeah, it's back to Mike Tyson's quote too. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And, you know, if you play the fourth at Old Barnwell 10 times, you're going to get jabbed in the face. And that's what I think makes it such a great hole over time, is you learn to respect the hole, which makes it more dangerous. You know, you're no longer just hitting that 195 yard shot. You're hitting a 195 yard shot that you know is dangerous. And over time, that kind of wears on you.
Totally. So five, this is like Full House Theory stuff here, where they're very different holes at a high level. The fifth at Tree Farm is a short down, slightly downhill dogleg left par four. For a big hitter with the right conditions, you could, if you're feeling feisty and you want to take it up the left, you could probably hit it damn near up near the front edge of the green. The fifth at Barnwell is uphill, dogleg to the left, big hole. You are not hitting it anywhere near the green on this hole. I believe it's 460, 470 up the hill from all the way back. Very wide, as is the fifth at Tree Farm. You know, you need to make a good decision on your line and what kind of shot you're trying to execute, what you're trying to leave yourself, particularly at Tree Farm. But I wouldn't say that either of them is some like wildly interesting tee ball. It's going to be much more about the second shot. I like each green. I think that they both work very well for the fifth at Tree Farm being a green that runs away from you with a wedge in your hand, kind of testing, all right, are you able to actually like clip this thing properly and spin it? Or are you hitting that one that's a little bit thin that all of a sudden that green is going to kind of work against you like it should? And then again, like kind of the contrast here at Old Barnwell, longer shot coming in, the green comes towards you. And so it gives you an opportunity, even if you're a flatter hitter, you know, to be able to hold that green okay with a longer club coming in. So when I say that the reason I like these holes so much within the context of house theory, they both fit within where they are in the course and what's preceded them so well. So you look at Tree Farm, three and four longer holes. I mean, you've got a four iron or more probably into the third hole, and the fourth hole, God knows what you're hitting. Like plenty of people will be hitting driver off that par three. And so I love that then it comes back with, okay, well, now you've got a wedge in your hand. Old Barnwell goes the other way, where first and second hole, like we talked about, very gettable. Third hole, not super long. Fourth hole is not short, but it's also not long. It's a six iron, seven iron, simple par three, grocery store sushi, if I may. So it's kind of time to like slide the big boy pants on. And that's what it does to you. It says, all right, like we're getting into this thing now. So different holes, but I think they both work great for what they are. They both work great for where they're situated in the round. So, you know, we're not to haymakers just yet. I think my next go will be a couple absolute haymakers. But we're throwing some serious punches at this point. Like, you know, there are a couple stars starting to be seen here. We might even have to take a quick break in the corner to, you know, slit the eye, drain a little blood out of the eyes. You know, it's starting to get a little tougher here. So, this is going to be another push, and we'll go to the sixth, Old Barnwell remaining at two up.
Yeah. The six holes here are both holes that I think have some really great things about them, but they're not fully fleshed out yet. I wouldn't be surprised if either of these holes change just slightly. And I know that the sixth green at Old Barnwell, really, there was a lot of movement there in terms of what was the original vision with that valley and what ended up happening. Frankly, I love the hole. And sixth at Tree Farm was immediately one of the best green sites on the golf course. I think it of any golf hole amongst these 36, you could certainly make the argument that the sixth at Tree Farm just sits so beautifully within, you know, the surrounding 80 yards in every direction. And for that reason, I think we're looking at a tie just from, but I'll get into it here briefly. Both drives. I want to get into the drives really quickly. Let's start with Old Barnwell. So at Old Barnwell, you've got width, nothing but width. And I think the first time around, you're not really sure. It's not evident from the tee how much undulation is in the fairway and what that width presents you into the green. And I think that takes a slight knock. However, once you walk down the fairway one time and finish the hole, I think you do have a very good understanding of what that is. So not too much of a knock there. The tee shot at the six at Tree Farm is much sharper than I would have expected sitting on the tee for the first time. But I think my point here is that they're both positional holes. You're not exactly trying to attack the hole off the tee. You're just trying to position yourself. Where the six at Tree Farm is kind of this dogleg left, the six at Old Barnwell is straight away down the hill. Can't miss. Literally cannot miss. And I'll get into use of bunkering really quickly because there aren't many that play a huge role, particularly on the green side at Tree Farm. But the way the bunkering is done at the sixth at Old Barnwell is pretty spectacular in my eye. And it does go into that tee shot comment that I made earlier. The bunker on the left really, truly does hide the green from view. You are left with only a view of the top of the flagstick, yet you do have a much, much better angle into the green. And that is a choice that you have to make. Am I okay with having the better angle, yet not being able to see it? Or do I want to see the green and play to an angle that's working against me? And that's a decision of, you have to know what's in your arsenal, both short game wise and how accurate you are with your irons. Or you just have to say, hey, at least I know where this flag is. Walking up to the fairway, I saw where the flag sits on the green, and I'm willing to just trust what I've seen so far to be able to get the advantage of a better angle. I think that whole idea is fascinating, and it makes me want to have another crack at that hole with different pin positions. A slight knock to the sixth at Old Barnwell is that the green is very, very similar to the second. And you're making that comment on the first about how the green is slightly raised up. This tends to be a theme at Old Barnwell. I don't think it's a knock in this situation because of what the tee shot presents. It presents the option. From the very right edge of the fairway, you have almost a reverse Redan sort of approach where you have to land your ball short of the pin. You have to land it left of the pin. You have to acknowledge the sort of bounce in the rollout that you're going to get. And short and long is both problematic. Whereas if you play left, you are blind, but you can land it short and play with, you know, the whole throat of that green, which is to your advantage. The six at Tree Farm is really just, you position it well off the tee and you have a pretty stock shot into a green that looks good to attack. The green is tricky. I think it's one of the more difficult greens on the course to putt. It's one of those greens where you could have a 12 footer for birdie and by no means do you have a great chance of making it. And I think that's unusual at Tree Farm. I think usually when you have, you know, 12, 15 footer, you have a pretty good chance of making that putt. Whereas at Old Barnwell, I think you see less of that. Two very different holes here for par fours, yet I think the same thing remains. I'm getting a lot of ties today. Not one is significantly higher than the other. Both sit equally well within their landscape. The sixth at Old Barnwell being a cavern valley hole, and the sixth at Tree Farm being a dogleg left, hugging the woods, snaky sort of par four. I think they're equal. I think they're going to get a tie, and Old Barnwell will remain two up heading to the seventh.
Only thing I'll add there is I think that those two greens on each respective sixth hole really highlight one of the core differences that I see between Tree Farm and Old Barnwell. With Old Barnwell, that green being, as you mentioned, popped up a little bit, and you start, that was the one to me where I'm like, getting a little monotony here. You know, I feel like I've seen this a handful of times already, and we're only on the sixth. And then Tree Farm, also being a very interesting green, but just sitting purely within its landscape. There was hardly anything done to that green, it seems like. I mean, you just see the two kind of natural slopes that come together. I mean, that was all just right there, you know? And so again, it's not that one is better than the other. They probably fall in a pretty similar position. It's just that is to me one of the fundamental differences between what you're going to see at these two golf courses and the style in which each of them were built. So, okay, Haymaker season, the seventh. This is one of those where, like, anytime we go into these house theories, it's like there are certain holes on certain golf courses where you're just like, okay, yeah, that's going to be a winner, you know, almost regardless of who it matches up against or what hole it matches up against. But each of these seventh holes are so good that I couldn't choose a winner. It's going to be another split here. So I'll get into the seventh at Old Barnwell first, a longer seventh hole here, and shows some of the same sorts of things that the sixth does, where you have a lot of width to the left. You can tell the way that bunkers kind of come together in your eye, that if you hug the left, there's going to be a lot more area to hit it into, but then you're going to be blind. You're not going to be able to see the green at all. I hit it over there one of the rounds that we played, and, you know, it's not a difficult approach, but I am hitting, you know, to a spot in a bunker that's going to obscure your view. Now, one thing I will call out is because it was not super warm the day that we played, I'm guessing that those right bunkers, it's probably somewhere in the area of 300 or so to cover, you know, in the heart of the summer, or if there's any wind behind you. I think part of the strategy of that hole is you could rip it over those bunkers and gain a really big advantage. It's just that middle of December, I think the wind might have been a little into us. That was not necessarily in play. So I kind of have to, you know, hold any sort of opinion there, because that would add another layer to the hole if, you know, say it is a little downwind or it's just 30 degrees warmer and all of a sudden you're saying like, okay, well, do I take this bunker on or do I just purely decide to go to the left? So I like that it's one of those holes where one of the things I was told about Old Barnwell going in is like, oh, it's just wide as shit. It's wide as shit. You can't miss a fairway, which to some degree might be true, but I still think that tons of the holes present you with very clear choices and options of what you want to do. And I mean, not being able to see a green, at least in my eyes, if you have 150 yards in, the difference between being able to see the pin and you know, certainly the bottom of the hole versus not, that's a big difference. And so I was significantly more intrigued by a lot of the tee balls at Old Barnwell than a lot of people let on. And this is a good example of that, where, yeah, it's a wide fairway, but like the difference between being all the way on the left and being up the right is significant. So last thing I'll say about the seventh at Old Barnwell, very large green. I believe you mentioned that this is Blake Konitz, one of his babies. Just a wonderful green, absolutely wonderful green. You know, there's some greens at Old Barnwell. We'll get into more of them that are pretty darn wild. There's a lot going on. A few that I'll throw it out there, probably a little too much for my liking. But this is one that just, their natural undulation, a couple core movements throughout the green, so many interesting hole locations, just a absolutely wonderful green. Nothing at all negative to say about the seventh green at Old Barnwell. The seventh at Tree Farm, very different hole. We're looking at a short par four here, but more of what we've discussed with the hole just working perfectly through the land. It's about 350 yards, somewhere right in there. There's a bunker that's about 50 yards out that adds so much to it. It's a very clear, if you're a player who's long enough to think about hitting it towards the green, now all of a sudden it's like, well, shit, I've got that bunker right in my landing area. If I hit it in that thing, I've got a 45 or 50 yard bunker shot out of a tiny little bunker to a small green, and it is just boner season, for lack of a better term. So it's amazing how such small features like that can take what's already a good hole and turn it into absolutely a great hole. What I like so much about it, you know, I mentioned on the third that, like, is that my favorite hole? Maybe not, but it all works really nicely. It's a long hole. It's wide enough. You're going to have a longer shot in. And then the challenge from there is going to be, you know, what you would want if you're going to have a four iron into a green. You're going to have to make a nice two putt or make a pretty straightforward up and down. The seventh at Tree Farm is a complete contrast to that, where you're going to have a short shot in. Even if you decided to hit a four iron off the green, it's going to leave you with a wedge. But it is a small, cunning little green. I mean, if you miss that thing, it gets gnarly. If you hit that thing and the greens are fast, it gets gnarly. I'll share one brief story. Playing around with some friends a handful of weeks ago. Let's see, what did I do? I like bladed a wedge, shocker there. Basically had a very hard pitch for like my third or fourth shot. And we were playing a better ball format. I was like very ready to scoop it and pick up and be like, hey, you guys play it out. Cause there were already a couple guys on the green. I end up making it up and down for bogey, and someone had to make like an 8 footer to have that hole with my bogey. And I think all three other guys were on the green in two. So that's kind of what that hole can present. When it gets firm and fast, you absolutely will see people put the ball off that green. And there will be a lot of wild shit happening, which is precisely what you want out of a short par four. So for all those reasons, I've gushed about each of these holes, which is exactly how I feel. They're both wonderful, both very different. So it's going to be another splitter. We're having, as you mentioned, a lot of ties here, but we're getting into that part of the round where there's just a lot of good stuff coming at us.
This is the tie podcast, for what it's worth. The eighth. The eighth at Tree Farm, I'll start with Tree Farm just because this is such a big ass hole. It presents sort of this heroic nature, but also a very strategic option if you choose not to take on the heroic play. Yet it is very penal. So all three schools of golf architecture packed into one very long hole, which also takes you on that upper ridge to what I would consider another quadrant of the golf course, routing wise, I do think that's worth mentioning. Really, really fun. And it is a complete 4.5 half par hole. And I'll even entertain those who say it's a 5, because I get that. It's a brutal long 4. And that's part of why I think the hole is so good. So let's talk about the drive really quickly. The option to play it heroically gives you the advantage of playing it with your eyes. So you have the ability to see yet still a very long iron shot and see what the green offers you. Where if you choose the strategic approach and play left, not only do you have a knocker of a 3-wood in or a driver off the deck or whatever you play, but you can't see anything. And I think that is just 2 smacks to the face very quickly. And then the third, which has become a point of conversation today, is just the variety of shots that you have to hit around the greens at Tree Farm. Like, this is another thing that we've talked about at length is, yes, Old Barnwell presents like a million different shots that you can hit, both playing it up on slopes and having the ball come back, but also the ability to bump and kind of hit some nippers around the greens, which certainly I no longer know how to do anymore. But the 8th at Tree Farm really presents this option of like, you're probably going to be chipping or pitching for your 3rd. And because the hole is so wide and because you should have the opportunity to see at least where that pin sits on the green, it's almost like create your own pizza or something. Like, you really have the choice of what type of pitch or chip you want to hit to try and make that up and down, which I think is a really fun exercise to do. Yet, you know, if you choose the heroic option and make it, you have a very real chance of hitting it on that green and 2-putting. 4 is a great score. Taking it to the 8th at Old Barnwell, very, very different hole, yet I think equally as engaging. You know, you could also make the argument for the 8th at Old Barnwell that the drive is a nothing shot. And I hear that argument, but I think the green presents something that very few, if any, holes on all 36 holes present. The only contender of which I think could be the 16th at the Tree Farm, which is just kind of a hole where you can bring balls back off of slopes and you have multiple routes to the hole no matter where you are. And I think that type of hole is so important, if not more important, at Old Barnwell, because a lot of these greens are raised up. It needs a hole that is bowled in and presents options to kind of do whatever you like to get the ball close to the hole. And though the tee shot gets the obvious knock, whereas I think the tee shot on 8 at Tree Farm is quite engaging, I think the green more than makes up for it at the 8th at Old Barnwell. Super wild green with this large hillside coming off the right. You've got a big ass knob on the left. You've got this boomerang type green that is a skinny funnel at the beginning and kind of a domed board type of play the ball up on the hill for your second shot if you have that back right pin. Heck, you could even fly it right at the pin just past it and suck it back straight. You can even access one of those further left pins from playing a massive hook wedge off onto the right slope and having it come all the way back. You can also just hit a very traditional wedge shot. And I think this is just a very important shot for Old Barnwell to have, given the other greens surrounding it. I can't believe I'm doing this, but it's going to be another tie. The 8th at Old Barnwell, the 8th at Tree Farm, very, very different holes, but equally as engaging, equally considerate of the shots that precede it. And we'll move on to the 9th. Old Barnwell, still 2 up, making a pretty significant charge on the front. More to come.
Yeah, moving to the 9th, and there's a chance I ask you for a little support here on the 9th at Old Barnwell, which I'll start with. It's a drivable par 4, and this is another one, kind of like the 3rd, where maybe I just didn't fully get it. I think maybe the idea is that you're just supposed to lay up here, because We each tried to drive the green a couple times, and neither of us were able to do so. The green is very challenging. And I think where I'm left struggling with this hole a bit is I just didn't see a spot to hit it anywhere near the green that's even remotely good. I don't exactly see how you put it on the dance floor with a driver. And the hole's only from the very back tee. It was, I think it measures 320 around the dog leg, but straight on, you're probably looking at 300 or something. So there are going to be a lot of people who, even if you're playing that back tee, can put this ball on the green. But I just didn't see the path to like actually find the dance floor. And then if you don't, there's just nowhere that's even remotely good. The bunkers out to the right, which I think that should be the spot you want to be, are so far pulled off the green. And then this being another one that's kind of popped up, it's just not good at all. And then the front bunker is super deep. And I'm kicking myself already for what I'm about to say, because anytime I complain about a bunker, I'm like, listen, dickhead, you didn't have to hit it in there, but it's really deep. And there was so much sand in that bunker. I was like, this isn't happening. You know, like a 30 yard bunker shop up a massive slope with like 9 pounds of sand in the, well, 90,000 pounds of sand in the bunker or something like that. I was like, this just isn't going to work out too well. So I don't know. I just think that a drivable par four, if you played the way that I think about that hole, if you played it five times, by the fifth time you're playing it, you're just like, I don't see why I would be pulling driver here. Even if you're a very aggressive player and like to do so, like I do, it does not make sense to try to drive that green. And I always think that a drivable par four, if you're not enticed to try to do it, then something's flawed, because you should be, especially if it's going to be really difficult around the greens like that, there should be something where you can convince yourself, hey, there's a reason for me to hit driver here. And when I think back on that hole, I don't see why I would hit driver. So that's the ninth at Old Barnwell. The ninth at Tree Farm, very different hole here. We're working with a par five. And I think this hole is width and angles at its best. I mean, it's a fairway that you pretty much cannot miss unless you hit just a horrendously bad tee shot. So much width. But if you hit it, you know, a little bit weak, a little bit out to the right, you're going to have a hanging lie, ball below your feet, you know, 225, 240, depending on what the wind direction is. And then all of a sudden the green is kind of working, you know, from front left to back right on you. It is, you know, this one almost sits into its landscape a little bit more like an Old Barnwell green, where it sits up a little bit and falls off on all sides, no bunkers, which I think is super cool. And from that ball below your feet with, you know, a four iron or two iron in your hand, if you're trying to cut it into that skinny green, that's just not a very sustainable business model. That's not going to happen very often. Whereas if you hit it up the left, you're A, going to have a better look towards the green, and B, you're going to have a nice flat lie. So again, this is why I say this is width and angles at its best, where if you just sit there and look at short grass and say, oh, I can hit this thing absolutely wherever, you know, then it is what it is, but that's not going to work out for you very well. You do want to really try to hug the left here to have a reasonable shot into the green. I think that there are two ways that shorter par fives work well. One is when it's all about the tee ball and it's narrow and it's basically, hey, look, you have a very clear opportunity to gain a stroke essentially by hitting a really good tee ball here. If you stripe one down the fairway and find the short grass, you got a five iron in your hand, hit the green, you can make a four very easily. Two is more like the ninth at Tree Farm, rather, where birdie is always there. It's right there the entire time. You're just not going to get it. You know, say you hit kind of an average tee ball in the ninth. It's like, oh, well, I'm still on the short grass. I still have a two iron in my hand. Like, I can make birdie, but you're not going to hit the green. Well, you hit it up near the green and you're 30 yards away and you've got this tight pitch. And you're like, well, I'm still 30 yards away. I'm still pitching on a par five. Like, I can still make birdie. Well, you might just make six or seven at this point, but let's say you don't. You know, you actually hit a pretty decent pitch. Well, the greens are firm enough. Like, it's not actually going to stop that close. And it's like, well, I'm still 15 feet. Like, I still have a putt at it. But how often are you actually making that 15 footer, especially on a green that's not all that easy? So that's what I like about this hole, is that strategically there's a lot more than meets the eye. And it's that second version where it's like that you feel like that birdie is still there for you the whole time. But if anyone plays this thing 10 times and reports back with eight birdies, I'd be awfully impressed. I don't think that that's a hole that you're going to be birdieing all that often. So that's a lot of context there. But the ninth at Tree Farm to me is definitely a better hole, and it's going to get the hole back here for the first dub of the day, shockingly, for Tree Farm, and take the match to Old Barnwell one up through nine holes.
The 10th. Let's start with Tree Farm here. A hole that is a bit of a transition hole. You're kind of back to you know, a corner of the golf course that more resembles the front in my mind, but part of that's just kind of where we start for the time being, temporarily. But the little sand dune that was created, it was one of the first features on the hole that was created, and the way it sits amongst like so much, like almost a painful amount of short grass, kind of reminds me of Palmetto. You know, you have like, what is it, 6, 7, maybe it's 5, 6, 10, 11, 12, like just that massive meetup area, which is so cool. The way the fairway just rolls down into the 10th fairway, I think is so neat. And to me, this is a second shot golf hole, and it's all about how crafty you can be, how good your understanding of is, you know, how you can use the contour around that green to get your ball close and potentially make a three. Because, you know, 11, pretty tough. 12, pretty tough. 13, you know, easy birdie, but also easy bogey. And it really does, you get some teeth kickers on the back. So, you know, 11, being that it's a driver with nothing really to worry about, or, you know, maybe if you're in the summertime, maybe it's a three wood, but regardless, you just kind of pick a club, hit it, and then hope you can hit a good 9 iron or 8 iron or something. And that's what I think is so neat about this hole, the way that sand dune just kind of cascades down like a rolling wave, and the left-hand side of the green just banks around it. Super fun. I mean, that's a green that you would love to see any pro hit a bag of balls into, because you just see a variety of really neat golf shots that can get to the hole multiple ways. The 10th at Old Barnwell is a very different hole, but one that I just cannot stop thinking about. And that is usually a really good sign when you've got a hole that you just can't get out of your head. A hole that looks way, 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 way different from aerial than it does both from the teeing ground, from the approach. And it's a hole of genius, man. Let's talk about the land first. Pretty ordinary piece of ground. By no means would you place it in the top 50%, top quarter of like, wow, this is a really scenic place to be. It's just, you know, you're tucked back in the woods, and doesn't seem anything miraculous about that tee shot or that approach. Yet the way that the bunkering flanks the left and works into the landing zone and then continues its way left into the green is really special. The way that the spine runs along the middle of that fairway and kind of cascades down the right, so that if you hit some weak, you know, flanky crop duster down the right hand side, you now have 30 yards longer in than you should, and you also can't see anything. I love that about the hole. If you really want a good look into this green, which you can attack, by the way, you need to hug the bunkers up the left-hand side, which don't present themselves as some giant hazard. Yet, I think it takes one time to hit it in there and realize that you're going to favor the center right-hand side of this massive fairway from now on. And then you hit it too far right, and you say, man, that's not a good look either. And so you just kind of end up wanting to play this game of, how far left do I try and bite it off the tee? And I think that is what a genius tee shot is all about, giving people space, but also making them go crazy in their own minds. The approach is so good, dude. The way that those bunkers are both so deep down the left and just hug it in a very geometrical fashion, like it makes sense. And there's so much landing zone out to the right that is on a 2% pitch heading down into the green with a straight edge along the right. And the green just juts out into this zone of bunkers that looks horrible from above, yet from approach doesn't look that dangerous. And like the 11th at the Tree Farm, which I think is one of the best approaches, I love the idea of being able to play a big swooping draw and having the ground contour bring it into the pin. And that is certainly something that you not only can see from the approach, but also you can follow through on that and do it. Something that's so special about these two golf courses is that the ground conditions really do match, and they allow you to play the shot that you think you can play, versus other courses where they show you the shot that you want to hit, but can you really hit that shot? Is it really going to work out reliably? Probably not. And for that reason, I think the 10th at Old Barnwell is just super, super fun. We're talking a different weight class here. I feel like the 10th at Old Barnwell is just, it's in a higher weight class than the 10th at Tree Farm. Yet both are really, really good holes. They're just on a little bit of a different level. And for that reason, Old Barnwell will take back the point that it just lost. We will head to the 11th, and Old Barnwell will be two up. We're getting critical at this point.
The one thing I'll add there on the 10th at Old Barnwell, that bunker that you mentioned, the front left bunker that hugs the green, you know, it's like a very flat bottom bunker, which we've talked about our passion for flat bottom bunkers. And then a sharp ass face. I mean, it plays, that's the closest thing. And I was fortunate or unfortunate enough to be kind of right up against it. I say fortunate because I got to actually see what the shot plays like, which is, you know, part of why you're out there. Closest thing I've ever seen to a true sort of Scottish revetted face in the States. And, you know, there's a lot of wild stuff done at Old Barnwell. And, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, you're going to shoot some air balls and you're going to make some long threes. This was a 35 footer that was nailed. That bunker was sick. Massive fan of that.
Yeah. And then the little just, I'll add on just because I think this has nothing to do with the golf hole whatsoever, but the little ridges that they put in between the 10th and the 11th tee. So cool. You're just not going to see that anywhere else. Yeamans Hall is probably the only other place that I would, that type of feature would make sense on that I've played.
They have it at Charleston as well, the 15th, which I think that's
Charleston. Yeah,
it's almost like an ode to South Carolina in certain ways, because it's the only places, and I'm sure that a lot of this is just having not seen a lot of other things, but only places in the States that I've seen it, Yeamans and Charleston. So pretty cool. Okay, let's move on to the 11th. So we'll start with the 11th at Tree Farm. I think Tree Farm has a small handful of holes that I personally consider to be just like bang up par fours. And I can see how certain people might not quite understand them, but I personally think they're stellar. To me, it's 7, it's 11, it's 12, and it's 14. And so 11, I think, is one of those greens that just the green in and of itself is fantastic. If you had just a simple flat fairway that was wide as hell and there's nothing to it, I'd be like, this is still a pretty cool hole just with what the green is kind of built into a naturally rolling hill there. And it's almost a Pinehurst number 2S green, but runs from right to left such that if the pin is on the left, you're just sitting there saying to yourself, like, all right, like how much do I want to try to cheat it over there? Because what's so great about it is, you know, from the center of the green, it is going to help the ball. If you hit a little draw in there, it's going to work to the left as a right-hander, that is, left-handed cut. But if you miss left, I mean, there's no telling how far that ball might roll, and it's not going to be very fun. You're looking at a, you know, a bump and run or a putt, or probably not a wedge if you're me. It just depends. But
It is telling how far the ball will roll. It will roll to the bottom precisely.
Yeah, which is, you know, nowhere to be found, the other bottom. Anyway, in and of itself, just a wonderful green. But I say that as if the hole were flat. Well, it's anything but flat. The fairway runs hard from right to left. It's flatter on the left, but you have a nice little stand of trees there. And so if you want to keep it down the left, you can't go too far. You're all of a sudden going to have to work with the trees. But what I love about Tree Farm, and Old Barnwell has a lot of this as well, is that like it's so playable. You know, we talk about a lot of these like U.S. Open courses, like an Oakmont, where it's not that it's not playable, but they're more just like, all right, well, I'm out on this one. Like, I don't really get to hit this shot. And that's something it irks me a little bit with certain courses where even as someone who drives the ball pretty well, and so this probably doesn't happen to me as much as many other people, but like you play this great hole, you might only get one look at it. You miss the fairway by a little bit. And it's like, all right, well, now I'm just going to have to kind of chop this down the fairway 80 yards. Like, if you hit it too far left on 11 at Tree Farm, you still have a shot. You just have to like hit a little hook around the trees or through the trees. And I mean, shit, stuff like that is fun as hell. So although it's not the ideal approach, it doesn't penalize you significantly, but it penalizes you enough to where you're probably making bogey at this point. You know, it's that, like, it's that subtle jab. It's not a haymaker, but it's that subtlety that that stuff adds up over time, which is, I think, that's where Tree Farm really kind of makes it hay, is, you know, it's not going to punch you in the mouth all that often, but it's just jab after jab after jab that all of a sudden you look at your scorecard and you're like, that's just not quite the score I wanted to shoot today. So anyway, back on topic here with the 11th hole. You keep it too far up the right where there's tons of room. I mean, now all of a sudden you're looking at 175, 180, ball way above your feet to the way I described that green. It's just not an easy shot. It's just really not. If you do that five times and you hit the green twice, you've probably done pretty well, especially if you get a more difficult pin, if the greens are firm and fast. It's just not going to work out too well. So another one where a fairly true width and angles hole where, you know, by the third or fourth time you're playing it, you're like, man, I need to keep this thing up the left. But then that's where it gets, you know, that much more difficult, because that one that you do hit too far left, okay, well, now you've, you know, kind of shot yourself in the foot, even though it's with just a little BB gun. So great hole. The 11th hole, Barnwell, this is one of the ones, you know, we've talked about them trying a lot of different things, a lot of it going beautifully, but they're going to be some misses. And I think I truly mean this, like, if you're not missing on some things, and this is in my opinion, but if there aren't some misses, you probably didn't push hard enough if that's your goal. I think that there's a massive, massive ridge in the middle of the green that's just so damn steep that, A, it's not like it's too hard to play by any means, but it's like a little bit much. And the other thing is, I do question the way that the middle of that green meets. It's almost as if there's a little ravine that's been created. And I could be completely full of shit here, but I do question over time, you know, is that green takes on water and things of that nature? Like, does that kind of not play super well? I don't know if people are going to really want to putt through that thing in 5-6 years time, certainly 50 or 100 years time. I think that's always an important thing to consider with golf courses, is like, there's a reason that we think so highly of these old courses, because it's like, these things are still great 100 years later. Like, what's that going to look like over time? That's one where I would have some questions. The other thing is that it's such a large hole that takes up a lot of land. It's a great view. You see so much of the golf course, and there's such an opportunity kind of sticking with that feature to make the hole play the same way, where you have this big green that has two fairly clear parts to it, but should work in unison. The middle of that green to me should feed the ball to the left side and should not be essentially defunct from the right. But I think we were all talking about it in the group that, like, it kind of just serves as two different greens almost, and they don't really seem to work together. So that it was just a miss to me. Like, I don't know how else to put it. I want to love the hole. I want it to be great. I think that you could flatten that slope. You could maybe make the feature a little bit less sharp and have the two parts of the green work together such that it's like, okay, there are two parts here, but it's one green, rather than it being like, yeah, these are just two different things. But in current form, it's just not quite doing it for me. So 11 at Tree Farm gets that hole back. We're getting some winners here at this point. And we're back to one up for old Barnwell.
All right, rolling into the 12th. The 12th at Barnwell is a really sweet par five. It puts you right next to 16, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But kind of cascading down that slope left to right. I love the bunkers hugging the left-hand side, because they are really, they're kind of aiming bunkers in a way. It's too long of a knock really to reach them, but it becomes a positional discussion at some point where from the tee, you should have a pretty good idea if you want to reach that par five and two. And if you do, the green is situated in such a way where you do want to occupy the right-hand side of the fairway. Gives you a ball beneath your feet lie, unless you're a lefty, of course. Regardless, that slope is working against you with the way that the green is pitched. However, if you do not wish to go for the green, if you cannot reach the green, I think it's irrelevant, and it gives that player an opportunity to play up the left-hand side towards safety and delay whatever sort of difficulty the hole presents for your third shot, for your scrambling. So that idea alone, I think, makes 12 at Old Barnwell great hole. The 12th at Tree Farm, I love a good blind shot, and there are a few of them at Tree Farm, but none of them really intense. I mean, the 16th tee shot is beautiful and probably the best blind shot on all 36 holes, including the 14th at Old Barnwell. But Yeah, this tee shot is it's really interesting. Like you cannot play it too far left, but you don't really exactly know what too far left is. And you can't play it too far right, but you don't know exactly what too far right is. So you kind of just have to make this educated guess on what the correct line is. And for a right-handed player, I think what that feeds you toward is just, I need to hit a cut here. I kind of need to mimic the shape of this fairway so that I can make sure that I stay inside it. And for that reason, I think it's a really good tee shot. The second shot, I mean, the green, to me, the green is what it's all about here. And it's one of my favorite greens out on the property where short, you have the ability to just hit one short and either bump one or nip one or whatever you want to do. Short really is the play, very similar to any sort of Donald Ross green that you'll see. Long, no good, left, right, kind of a mystery, and short is predictably fine, but not necessarily easy. And then you have almost that double plateau sort of situation, even though it's not exactly with this canal running through the green, and it presents some really interesting hole locations. And a second shot that becomes more important because of the way the tee shot is. So if you miss that tee shot, maybe you got the line wrong, you're going to have a really gnarly, you know, 60 to 100 yard pitch for your third to a pin that's either going to be up on a ledge or down in a valley. And depending on where that pin is, it's going to be a hard fought four. Yet, if you do hit a good ball in the fairway and you do hit a good second shot, you do actually have a good chance to make a birdie and really lock up your par. I would say par is a great score here. And though they're different pars and though they have very different strategies, I do think that the green on the 12th at the Tree Farm is really special. Like the green at the 12th at Old Barnwell is kind of funky. You have those bunkers flanking the left-hand side and they sit well above the green, and the green pitches to the right. It suggests a shot that moves away from the way the landing zone pitches. And there's that nipple in the middle of the green that I'm biased here because I just got caught in the middle of it and had to putt over it. But it's a little funky. And I feel like if you do, you know, earn your way onto that green in two, you should have a really good chance at locking up your four. And also if you lay your ball up way left and find yourself on the other side of that nipple, you don't want to find yourself just three putting. I think that's a bit silly. And the green is so good on the 12th at Tree Farm that it makes me, like, in my head, I value the 12th at Tree Farm more. I just think pound for pound, it's a better hole. And I'm going to give it the win here. 12, Tree Farm wins. It'll bring the match back to all square. And we've got a ball game.
And we're grinding. 13, similar here to the 7th, just like two holes that to me I would look at and say up against virtually any other course, each of these would win, but putting these two up against each other, they're so damn good. So I'll start with 13 at Tree Farm, kind of the, I'm not saying the SIG, I don't use that term, but one of the more, let's see, well thought of holes on the course, I would say. You mentioned it in some episode recently that it's like 14 acres or something like that, just a massive amount of land. And you can see the whole thing. That's super cool piece of it. Dogleg to the right, around this massive, just like, it's like a Badlands. I don't even know how to describe it necessarily, but just, you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to be down there. You get down there and you might just kind of never come back up. It's one of those where, you know, the one guy hits a slice off the tee and he gets down in there and it's like, you know, we'll see you in about 15 minutes when we're up on the green. You go have some fun. If you hit a really good tee ball, you can certainly get there. If you don't quite have the juice to get there, or if you don't hit such a good tee ball, you got to think about the layup. There's a bunker out there that you need to stay away from. You know, there's not like a good spot to lay up unless you really hit one way, way up there. If you try to hit it up over the bunker, then you can maybe get yourself to 60 or 70 yards off a flatter lie, but that's probably not going to come with the territory of why you're laying up. If you've left it in a bunker or something like that, you're probably just trying to hack it over the other bunkers and the Badlands to then have like a ball below your feet, kind of a funky lie wedge. It's just like, it's not good. It's not good. And I think that's what makes it such a great par five. It gives you the chance to get there. It gives you the chance to score. But if you falter on some pretty objective shots, you're reeling pretty fast. I also love, this is kind of a random call out here, but the teeing area for the back tee is one of my favorites. It's like, there's no clearly delineated, thank God there's not a built up tee box, but it's just like this whole back pad with some pines littered throughout. And I mean, there are like 85 different spots they could put it among these different pine trees to make the hole slightly different, but it's just a really cool teeing area. So that's a random shout out. You know, Old Barnwell has so many things that are just done like in excess. And that, I think that was the intent. And some of them, frankly, like I look at it and I say, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, it doesn't do that much for me. The 13th is the antithesis of that. There's a lot going on, but I think every little piece of the 13th at Old Barnwell serves a purpose. And that's why to me, this is probably a fairly unique opinion, but I think the 13th at Old Barnwell was my favorite hole on the course. So there's a pretty large ridge through the middle of the fairway. It's one where if you hit it out to the right, that's safety. It's fine. But now all of a sudden you've got a ball below your feet to a green that runs from right to left. It's not a wild green. There's plenty going on. There's kind of a top right plateau, but it's not raised up 5 or 6 feet above the level of the bottom of the green. It's only about 2 or 3 feet higher and it's fairly flat. So if the pin's back there, you're definitely not having any fun. One of my favorite features on the whole course, there are two bunkers along the left side of the green that are just like flush with the ground. You can't even see them if you miss over to the right. So it looks like if you know, say you're kind of coming across the green to a left-hand pin, you're like, oh, well, if I hit this a little too far from the right side of the fairway, that's fine. Like it's just short grass, whatever, over there. Then you're down in one of these little coffin bunkers and it's really no good. Well, if you hug the left off the tee like you're supposed to, that's where all the bunkers sit. So you're going to have a flatter lie up there. You're going to have a much better view of the green, but you have to contend with the bunkers off the tee. But if you do it and you do it successfully, then you get a really nice look. You have a wedge in your hand. You can see those little hidden bunkers from the right. And if the pin's on that top plateau, you get a really good look as well. So maybe not as much grandiose to this hole or whatever people are looking for, some of the others at Old Barnwell, but I just think that strategically it's one where, again, like there's so much going on a lot of the holes at Old Barnwell. And I do think that some of it is a little bit eye candy and maybe doesn't all serve a purpose. But at 13, I think every little piece of it has such a purpose to it. And I think it's the best hole out there. So I can't decide between these two. We might be working with the best hole on each course. So it's going to be a splitter. We're going to stay at all square with five to go.
This 14th is probably my favorite matchup on the whole golf course, just pound for pound. We've got what I would say is probably the most controversial hole on both golf courses and in Old Barnwell. And then what I would say is the most underrated hole on both golf courses in the 14th at Tree Farm. Certainly the case within each of their respective courses. I'll tackle Tree Farm first. The 14th at Tree Farm, I think the landing area, not just the way the tees have been situated, but the way the kind of valley, the creek, the bunker complex, whatever has transpired over the last year and a half down there in the landing zone, that seems to be yet to be determined, but also just the strategy is kind of finalized, in my opinion. What it means is that you have kind of an option to take it up the left-hand side and bomb one, or you kind of hit this sheepish, you know, defensive type shot and delay whatever penalty or challenge of the hole for your second. That's the idea of the hole. And I'll also mention that the 14th at Tree Farm has one of the most special greens on the course, a green that is not overly show-offish, like it presents itself as it is, yet that back right corner, the entire rear of the green, the right-hand side is pretty plenty brutal, but all class, just like everything you would want, nothing that you don't, and a hole that you want to play over and over and over and over. First of all, I think it looks tremendous from the tee. It's just a very aesthetic hole, and it does entice you to take it up that left-hand side. I think it only takes one burn there to kind of entertain the right hand route and say, maybe I should take 3 wood or at least not push it down that left hand side like I did last time. Yet when you do hit it up there on the top on the left and are successful and have a wedge into what is a very difficult green, have the opportunity to attack, to see all of those things, I think it makes you go back and forth, which is the sign of a great tee shot and a great hole. The 14th at Old Barnwell, very controversial hole, I would imagine. I've only talked to a few people about this golf course and this hole, but I have a hard time imagining that we won't see a wide array of opinions on what the 14th offers. It's a drivable hole that is blind from the tee shot, although there is an alternate teeing ground to the rear of the 13th green at Old Barnwell, which allows you to play with that hazard, which normally would be short on your left-hand side. And I can't speak to that tee. I haven't played it. I've only stood on it. From the rear tee, playing over this large hazard, and you played a mystery, especially your first time around. And the green occupies the left-hand side, you know, the far corner of this group of trees that you're playing into. And to the right, there is this layup zone. And the reason that I think the hole is successful is because the left-hand side of the green and the right-hand side of the green make both the layup and going for it valid options. I think that's very important on a drivable hole. We talked about the second at Old Barnwell, and I think it does this very well. It does present you both options. If the pin is positioned on the left-hand side of the green, I think going for it is quite stupid, because you have about 15 yards of width that you really need to hit it into, or else you are scrambling and not scrambling for birdie. Whereas, you know, you go lay up and you can kind of scoot a wedge back there and check it. And I think it's takes stress off the tee shot. I think it's a pretty easy shot to execute for your second and knock a good putt in there. However, if the pins are on the right, going for it is the play unequivocally. Like if you go right, and take an easier tee shot, there's no way in my mind to get any sort of wedge close to those hole locations, particularly in the back, because the ground contour slopes down and away from you. Even if you hit the best shot you can, you'll probably be working with 18, 20 feet up the hill. And for a drivable sort of hole, that's really not what you want. So in that regard, I think the 14th at Old Barnwell is tremendous. I do think there's some green contour in there that is a little bit too severe. And arguably, that just is what it is. You just need to shut up and play golf. And it's part of what makes golf golf is, hey, it's frustrating. Like you hit two great shots and you're not going to get three. I'm sorry. Try again next time. And I think that's worth discussing. But had it be a little bit more of like a constant slope from front to back, looking at it from the traditional tee to the back of the green without some of the rumps and bumps, I think it would be as good of a hole as Old Barnwell has. The 14th at Tree Farm is just more of a classic, whereas I feel like the 14th at Old Barnwell is more like a piece of art, or like a statement piece, or an abstract, or a sculpture. And people aren't really sure what to make of it. Someone values it very highly, and somebody thinks it's the ugliest thing ever. I understand that take. I think the 14th at Tree Farm is kind of one of those things that most people can appreciate and ages like fine wine. So honestly, a very tricky one to pick. But in my opinion, Tree Farm takes this hole. I don't think it's one of those holes that can tie even. I think somebody's got to win this one. Tree Farm's going to take it. It will lead Tree Farm one up heading into the 15th tee.
So going to the 15th, I'll start at Old Barnwell. It's one that I think at first glance, I was like, I don't know how much I really like this hole, frankly. It's a very long par five, which I think can be a somewhat difficult type of hole to execute, just purely because you're not giving the people what they want. People want to step up to a par five and say, all right, 550, like driver two iron, whatever it is. Like I can, you know, get up to the green. You look at 630 or 640 and it, you know, unless you absolutely send it or it's really hot. At least for me, it better be really, really warm and probably downwind if 630 is going to be in the tank. So you're kind of starting behind the eight ball a little bit just with the hole that you're getting at here. I don't think this is a hole that has great cohesion, if I'm being frank. I also think that this is a hole that could maybe benefit from the simplicity that you're just not going to see at Old Barnwell. There's going to be a lot of extra built into it, bunkering, shaping. There's a lot going on. But when I really think about it and the two rounds that I've gotten to play there, I do believe that the sum of the parts is maybe greater than the whole. When I look at it, maybe from an aerial or I look at it as an entire golf hole, I'm like, I don't completely know how I feel, but when I look at it and say, okay, it's a 630 yard par five. Okay. So what is that supposed to present? A tee ball that's halfway interesting, but it's probably, it should probably be one of the easier tee balls on the course. If it's going to be a massive par five, that's not where you're being challenged. The layup should provide some sort of interest. And then the third shot should be really interesting and difficult to an interesting green with a probably bigger green on a par five like that. And that's what you get. The tee ball is just kind of is what it is. The second shot, you got to think about it, but nothing crazy needs to happen. And then the third shot's interesting and the green is very good. The difference between getting a front pin or a left pin and certainly a back right pin is going to be highly significant. You could play that hole four or five times and have it play completely differently. So when I think about it, it was not a hole that I necessarily wanted to like maybe, but I do like it. And I think, again, the sum of the parts there is greater than the whole. The 15th at Tree Farm is the Redan. And the Redan at any golf course has kind of become the selection if you're at a really good restaurant to put a cheeseburger on the menu. I love a great cheeseburger. I think a lot of people love great cheeseburger, but it's like virtually impossible to create a cheeseburger that people are like really talking about. It's like, man, that is better than the others because it's formulaic. You kind of know what you're going to expect. Like to some degree, cows are cows and I love a good cow, but like, you can't really source some meat that's way better than whatever people have, you know, like the secret sauce on a cheeseburger only goes so far. And that's how I feel about the 15th at the Tree Farm. It is the Redan. It is a really good Redan. A Redan is always fun. I'm never going to get up to a Redan and be like, ah, just another Redan. Just like, I'm not going to look at a really good cheeseburger and say, I don't want that. I'm always going to want it, but it's just really difficult to stand out. If you're an architect, and you're trying to say, I want to stand out with my par threes. Frankly, and this is just purely my advice, I probably would not advise on designing a Redan. I just think it's making it difficult on yourself to stand out relative to the crowd. So par three versus par five, Redan versus kind of complex, long par five, different holes. There's not really a great selection to be made here. They're both, to me, just rock solid and will be a split for that reason.
Okay. On a 16, where we have two very similar par fives in terms of what they offer with the hole surrounding them, but also kind of the entire vibe. Let's start with the tee shot, 16 at Old Barnwell. You're guarded. You're guarded from what is to come. You are sitting there in a nook, which I love, which we love. Just kind of tucked back, looking at this massive boomerang field of grass that takes you somewhere. And at 16 at Tree Farm, you're sitting back there in a little nook, looking at these two beautiful bunkers and kind of a fairway that cascades, you know, around and over them. And you have largely no idea where you're headed. Now, this isn't exactly true on both courses because you've seen both the 16th green before on 14 at the Tree Farm, and you've seen the 16th green at Old Barnwell before on any number of holes at Old Barnwell. And so I think that is something that is really, that's something that I really like in routings, is the opportunity to see a green not just before you play it, but well before you play it, and if possible, multiple times. Though when you're on the tee, it's hard to remember what you're going to take from the 16th green. It's hard to remember, where do I want to place this tee shot to give myself the best chance into this green? You just kind of have to hit one out there. And 16 at Tree Farm is not exactly this way, in my opinion. So at Old Barnwell, I think it's probably best to just take it down the right center of the fairway, but bombs away. Just dinger season, take it out there and see what you can do later on. Tree Farm, there's a little bit more nuance, in my opinion. Like, one thing that I love about this tee shot is that from the far left-hand corner of the landing zone to the far right-hand corner, I'm thinking about, you know, if a shorter hitter pulls it, the most that they can pull it and still be in play, versus if a longer hitter really tries to cheat those bunkers and takes the most right line that they possibly could. The width between those two markers is somewhere in the ballpark of 250 to 300 yards. It is as wide as it gets, though, based on how far you hit the ball and your expectation of the hole, you do have to choose a line because your number then does matter. And that is something that I don't think exists quite as much at Old Barnwell. So as far as the drive goes, I'd give Tree Farm a little bit of a plus. Let's talk about end of the green. I've heard a little bit of controversy about the 16th at Old Barnwell. None of it's that bad. It's just like, I think there's a lot going on. There's a lot to look at. Whereas the Tree Farm, the 16th is tucked in this wonderfully looking bowl, and there's not a lot else competing for your attention. It's fairly obvious what the answer is, what the outcome is, what you're trying to achieve is. Whereas 16 at Old Barnwell, you know, there's this kind of knob hanging on the front left side of the green, though everything, you know, cascades down to the left. And I think it's confusing of like, okay, I have the ball below my feet, but how is that knob going to influence my shot on the second? You know, can I bank it off of the right side? Where really is trouble? Like, is left trouble? I don't know what that chip or pitch is going to be like left of that green. Is short okay? You know, what does it look like if I miss right? I think it takes many rounds around Old Barnwell, specifically the 16th, to get a feel for like what that type of scoring situation is like. And in that regard, I would rate that as a plus. I think that's a great thing about the approach at the 16th. And so let's talk about layups real quick. Laying up at 16 at Tree Farm is like a pretty binary sort of thing. And it's also a very, very easy hole to just like lay up on and then also still have birdie be in the cards. Where I think at Old Barnwell, if you lay up, you're kind of throwing birdie out the window to a certain degree. Like, you're hitting to an elevated green. You kind of lose that sense of sight. And it's just, it's no longer an easy shot. Whereas no matter where the pin is at Tree Farm, as long as you have a good understanding of where it is, you know, you have a much larger blanket to land it on and still have, you know, a 10 foot or less for birdie. And so even though that is suggested with how that green was built, I think the 16th at Old Barnwell meets the 16 at Tree Farm, even though I think the 16 at Tree Farm is more beautiful. We talked long and hard about this. I really do feel strongly that these holes should tie, even though I know a lot of you love 16 at Tree Farm, and so do I. I think it's just one of the prettiest golf holes I've ever seen, but I'm sticking to it. Tree Farm and Old Barnwell tie the 16th. Tree Farm will remain one up heading to the 17th tee, and we'll see what happens.
I think 16 and 17 are both examples of, like, you know, we've been likening it to boxing or, you know, just standard match play in golf. Like, you gotta win the hole, you know, like, you don't just get to play a better hole and then get the win. You know, like, if you have an 8 or a 10 footer to win the hole, the putt does have to go down. And I think that each, the 16th and the 17th, for my money, that's what we're looking at for the Tree Farm on both. Or you could flip it the other way and say, hey, old Barnwell, gritty 6 or 7 footer par to scratch out that half. Like, I think Tree Farm, these holes are both marginally better in my book, but not enough to get that full win, because old Barnwell 16 and 17, they're really damn good. 17 is a short par three at old Barnwell. The only thing, like, as we talked about this ad nauseum, the only knock I could come up with on this hole is I was like, I feel like I've played this before. I've seen so many short par threes that this feels so much like 17 at Sandhills, which, like, yeah, really, really tough knock here. Like, it's one of the best par threes in the world in my mind. but that was my only thing, is I was like, God, I feel like I've hit this shot before. But it's a great hole. Like, it, little bit up the hill, short little wedge shot. You know, in context with the rest of the course, like, if you miss it, it's not going to be very fun, but it's a green that does present the opportunity, depending on what exactly the pin is that day, to work your bar towards the hole. It's certainly a birdie opportunity, but not an easy one. It's just, it's a rock solid hole. Now, 17 at the Tree Farm, you don't have dogleg par fours, or par threes rather, obviously. But the 17th at Old Barnwell does favor a right-handed draw. The way that the green works, just the entirety of the hole, it is situated for a right-hander to hit a draw. The Tree Farm is kind of the opposite, where the green runs from left to right, and there's a large bunker in the front right that is just like staring at you the whole way. And you can tell if that ball gets cutting, especially given that it's a little bit up the hill, it's not going to get good. There's so much range to this hole. I mean, front tee, front pin, I mean, you're looking at a little wedge, 120, 125, back tee, back pin. I've seen 6 and 5 irons. It can be 180, 185. So there's so much range to this hole. The green, it all runs from left to right. I mean, if you could somehow, not me, but someone who actually has this shot, if you could somehow hit a little flat, not super spinny, low cut into this green every time and just kind of run the half pipe, you'd really be pleased with your work. But yeah, I'm still working on that one myself. So both shortish par threes, we'll call them, for 17th holes. Again, as I started, I think Tree Farm has the slight edge here, but either that 8 footer doesn't quite go in, or old Barnwell slides in that putt for par to scratch out the half. And that's where it's going to leave us. Tree Farm is one up going into the 18th. And I will say, I think anyone who's played each of these courses already probably knows where this one's headed.
I mean, what are the questions that we're asking ourselves here? Which is more fun? You know, this is house theory. I'll start off with this. I love the simplicity of the 18th at Old Barnwell. The golf course is wild. I mean, I saw shit out there that I've never seen ever. And that is a really big piece of what makes Old Barnwell worth experiencing time and time and time and time again. Trend over time is through the roof, and a lot of big risks paid off there. And even the takes, even some of my critical takes of the golf course, I think won't age well, which is something that I kind of love, because I think it's a golf course that'll be studied for a long time. And to have the humility to make the 18th just pretty flat, not a lot of hazards. Green just kind of exists as an extension of the fairway. It almost has no slope at all. I thought that was a really sweet move. And I love the 18th at Old Barnwell. But when you put it against the 18th at the Tree Farm and the thrill that that is, playing up to the clubhouse, you know, a cavern on the right hand side that, I guess it took a day to build, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like it took 2 weeks to build, to dig out of there. Is a hole that is drivable, but double bogeyable, is really fun. Drivable, I would say drivable is the peak there, but really, the course has been open for a year, less than a year, and there have already been multiple hole-in-ones on the 18th. Like, how many drivable par four 18th holes can you say that for? Not that many. I don't know how many.
I can think of North Berwick. I think that's a pretty good course. People speak highly of that.
I was thinking about North Berwick and the old course, but I can't think of anybody who's holed out on 18 at the Old Course. And shit, if I did that, I might as well just die right there. I think that would be a good place to shut it down.
That's a pretty good call.
But the 18th at Tree Farm is, it's a hard one to beat. And for where it sits within the context of the golf course, I think I'll go into one more sort of rabbit hole as we wrap up this discussion. And clearly Tree Farm's going to win this hole in the match, is that, you know, when the original routing was done by King Collins, and when Zach had the idea for Tree Farm, the 18th hole was pretty much the first thing that got put down on paper. I want a drivable par four right up next to the clubhouse, and I want matches to be won and lost. I want people to laugh and cry and all that jazz. And that seemed to be one of the most important things about what that golf course was. And they did it. I mean, it really is that the way that the green is separated in a way that you can really fuck it. I mean, you can really, really get in a tough spot there with, you know, 10 yards difference on that drive. Yet, if you catch that slope the right way on your first, second, third, whatever, you can scare the hole repeatedly. And I think that's really fun. What a blast it was to run through these 18. This go around, Tree Farm wins the match 2-1. And,
wow.
Two up. That's right. My bad. I look forward to the discourse to come. I welcome it. We welcome it. Keep it coming. And we would love to reiterate this down the road as changes are made. But you guys have been asking for it. So there it is. Anything to add?
No, it's fun to break it down. I mean, I feel like so often in these, when we do these house theories, we get to like the 15th, 16th hole, and we're kind of like, all right, like where do we want things to finish up here? Like, it's starting to go in one direction, but we might kind of give the slight edge to this hole or that hole just so that we can like keep it fun here for the match. Like, I think this is one that we looked at each hole individually and said, okay, what do we truly believe on each of the 18th holes? And when we get to the end, we'll add it up and see what happens. And this is where it shook out. It went all the way to the 18th, and the 18th at Tree Farm is just too good to not get the win there and take the match two up. But it's a tight one with Tree Farm, you know, getting the slight edge there. Like, when I think about how people talk about these two golf courses and how I think about these two golf courses, I guess I'll start there. Like, my biggest overall take, I'll kind of finally give it here. So many people have asked, like, I think Tree Farm's going to be preferred by better golfers over time. It's a little bit more objective. It's, you know, you were used the word class multiple times today. It is a class golf course. It's natural. It's a class golf experience. It's an awesome place to get to play. I think people love not just playing the course, but they love the experience out there. And over time, I think, again, for those who have played a lot of good golf courses, and certainly those who play the game pretty well, that's probably what will be preferred. But when I think about Old Barnwell, both personally and from what I've heard from other people, I mean, dare I say, it is provocative and it gets the people going. When I ask people what they thought about Tree Farm, it's consistently somewhere between like, yeah, really good to like, that place was awesome. You know, it's just somewhere on that continuum. Everybody really likes it. Well, Barnwell, like being straight up, I've heard the word goofy. I've heard like it's a bit much. I have also heard like that place is stupid good. Like, that was the greatest round I've had, you know? So again, it is provocative. And I love that. I love that it's a course. We talked about, I believe it was Tobacco Road in this context, yeah, that like, it's a great thing for the game of golf to have something, especially in a niche community where we get into this group thing about anything and everything, to have something, particularly a golf course, that people have very differing opinions on, mm-hmm, is an awesome thing. And that's what Old Barnwell is. And the best thing I can say about each of these two courses is I play plenty of courses where I'm like, that, you know, some of them I'm like, yeah, that's fine, I don't really need to come back. Some of them I say, that was great, and honestly, don't really need to come back. Like, I'm glad that I had the experience. I'm glad I got to see it, but kind of a check in the box. the check does never goes in the box for Tree Farm at Old Barnwell. Like, I want to keep playing each of those golf courses as much as I can, because there's so much to continue to unpack about each of them, with different hole locations, different wind directions. And I think that's the best thing about how each of these two courses came out, is that when we talk about, you know, tie course ratings and tie course reviews and trend over time, I think trend over time on each of these courses, at least specifically speaking about, you know, how much you're going to be desired to go back, is going to be really high. You know, people are going to want to continue to learn more about these courses and play them more and more. So Tree Farm, it's the class golf course. It's going to win the match. I think the better player, the slightly more keen architectural eye, probably takes a liking to it. But Old Barnwell, like, it might have more acquisition power within the game of golf. There might be more people that go out there and say, fuck, like, this golf course architecture stuff is pretty cool, and this course is what really is getting me into it. And shit, how the hell could you argue with that, right? So what a match. Probably our best house theory yet. Really enjoyed this one. Thanks for joining me. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And let us know. I'm sure that there will be plenty of people in
we want
in the
comments
DMs ripping us on XYZ, the outcome of the match. I think I've already seen like there have been so many people that said, oh, this, you know, 5-3 and this is 2-1, and you know, it's provocative. They've been all over the map. So anyway, thanks, everybody. Cheers.